Hello and welcome to Geek Actually News for the 19th of February, 2012. I am David McVeigh and we are joined by Josh Philpott.
Give us all your money.
Actually, no, we're not. Josh is lost in the wilds of New Zealand somewhere, and we haven't been able to quite make contact. I'm actually kind of hoping he shows up during the middle of the show. That would be really fun. But we are joined by...
It's really dark in
Richard
here.
Richard Gray. How are you, Richard? Hey, I'm amazing.
Oh, dear.
I'm fine, David. How are you?
Good, good. Okay, so Richard's got a new sound clip.
Yeah, payback's a bitch, man.
We should
come back at you with a whole bunch of your own sounds.
See,
it's really
go off...
dark in here.
Oh, hello. I didn't mean to play that. I was just like a button got clipped by accident. We should explain that that's actually from one of my son's Lego movies on his channel, youtube.com/NickyMcVeigh. There you go. You can relax. I've given you your plug. He's done a whole series of trailer blips, which are these very, very short, kind of like, what's the word? Literal clips. Which are movie trailers in 4.5 seconds, you know?
Which they're great.
They're very funny. And that's actually from an Amazing Spider-Man when he did. Play it again.
Oh, hang on.
Hey, I'm amazing. And yes, that's me. As usual, he ropes me into
these. Keep rolling there.
He ropes me into these things, and now I'll be forever remembered. Anyway, we've got to keep moving, don't we, Richard?
Keep rolling there.
This is Film Actually News. This is where we take a look at the week's entertainment news, and we don't make news. We like to make fun of it. But there's a couple of stories this week where we do have some things to say, because some of the things are actually to us, close to our heart. And the first story up tonight, Richard, is that Miss Piggy and Kermit will present at the Oscars.
No, this is excellent news. I've like, you know, there was a massive Twitter campaign, there's a massive Facebook campaign to get them to host the Oscars, and that didn't happen. It's Billy Crystal again, but because I think the logistics of the Muppets hosting the Oscars at the last minute would have been a bit.
Well, and there was also the whole big kerfuffle, because the two songs that have been nominated for Best Song normally are sung on the show, and they've decided not to do the songs this year because of the time, which means that of course the Muppets won't get their song sung. So they're saying, where are the Muppets going to fit into this great equation? Well, now we know they are going to present.
It's a telecast thing that they worry about for time. If you look at the running schedule for the Oscars, there's like 3 hours of red carpet. Now, surely they could take 10 minutes out of the red carpet for two songs.
That's what
I want to hear my man or Muppet.
I really, the red carpet has gotten longer and longer and longer every year. I
remember there's more stars than there are in heaven, David.
But I remember when the red carpet, because they'd cut it down, the red carpet was literally like a half an hour before the show.
Mm.
And now it's like longer than the show itself. It's ridiculous.
There's a lot of money in that red carpet.
All right, so Richard, what's up next?
Okay, up next we've got a story about Warner Brothers have just announced this week that they're planning more I Am Legend films.
With Will Smith?
With Will Smith, apparently.
Huh?
It says Smith won't commit until the script is ready, apparently, according to Deadline. But Will Smith, the intention is to have Will Smith reprise his role as Robert Neville. The film is not being called a prequel, apparently, which has been rumored for the last few years, but apparently, you know, according to the article, Warner sees more room to roam on a film that grossed $584 million worldwide when it came out back in 2007, which wasn't small change.
There was rumor circulating at one point that it was going to be not a prequel so much, but like a midquel, and it was going to be about the fall of New York.
Well, it has to be. I mean, let's face it. I mean, spoilers for a film that's now 5 years old, but Smith's character doesn't fare well by the end of that first film.
That's true.
Well,
it depends on what ending you watch.
If they're bringing him back. exactly. Depends on what ending you watch. Yeah. If they're bringing him back, then it has to be set before or during.
It has to be a prequel. There's no other way you could do it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's such a long...
Yeah, so let's see a movie about the big thing that happened before the event that ended the world. That'll be an interesting story.
Yeah, haven't we seen that movie already?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Isn't it Contagion?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, so if we haven't had enough fairy tales, we have another one coming out. Now, Maleficent is the movie... Sorry, Gesundheit. Maleficent is the movie that Tim Burton was going to direct about the Sleeping Beauty witch.
That's right.
So Sleeping Beauty from the witch's point of view. Tim Burton has since walked from this production, but apparently Angelina Jolie is still attached to it, and they are moving ahead. with this production. Now, this follows on the news a couple weeks ago. If you remember, several weeks ago, we were talking about the Snow White films.
That's
and,
right.
And we were saying that there was actually supposed to be a planned third Snow White film. There's the two, the Mirror Mirror and Snow White and the Huntsman that are coming out. And there was the rumors going around that was a third one. I actually heard more about that the other day. So it is coming. There is a third one. So it's ridiculous. And I believe there's actually two Sleeping Beauty movies.
And there's at least two Wizard of Oz movies.
And at least two Beauty and the Beast, three Beauty and the Beast projects, two of them for TV.
Wow.
So it's ridiculous the amount of fairy tale stuff that is coming out.
I suppose they're public domain.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think they're looking at it going, we can make, how many millions of dollars did they make on Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, boy, I think it was well over
$1 billion.
I think it was like $1.2 from memory.
Yeah, and the Snow White and the Huntsman is the same producers.
Mm.
So I think that's what we're heading for. They're all looking for that money.
Well, you know, and I bless them if they can get it. Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, these movies might be terrible. And Alice in Wonderland was terrible.
It was, yes.
But it's tent poles like that that allow them to make smaller films.
That's true.
So, you know, I think if we all have to fork out our money just to see a few more, you know, Hugos and the artists along the way, then, you know, kudos to them.
Fair enough. Look, I actually have no problem with the idea of Maleficent. I actually like the sound of it even when Tim Burton was directing it. I didn't really want to see Tim Burton direct it, but the idea of telling the Sleeping Beauty witch's story is actually a very interesting idea for me. I always like the idea of flipping these stories on their heads. It's one of the reasons why I really like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead. The idea
and the musical Wicked, but yeah, no,
exactly.
It's...
The idea of flipping these classic stories from a different point of view.
And like, you know, Maleficent has always been... one of the more interesting characters in Walt Disney's Sleeping Beauty, simply because of the design of her. It's amazing. And if Disney can capitalize on that. And in fact, I think, you know, judging from when you walk around any of the Disney parks, she's certainly one of the more popular characters.
Yeah. So I think this could prove to be a very interesting little experiment.
Absolutely.
Richard, what's next?
Well, this bit of news I just included because it's about the 300 sequel. Which is almost more appropriate for our other show, Behind the Panels, but we've already recorded that this week, so I couldn't include it there. and we'll talk about that more a bit later. But Jamie Blackley has apparently landed the co-lead role in the 300 sequel. That
Are they really still going ahead with that?
Well, apparently Noam Morrow's going to direct it for Warner Brothers, and of course,
Household
Legendary
name.
Pictures again. Legendary Pictures seem to be everywhere at the moment.
Yeah.
And apparently, in the film that's been scripted by Kurt Johnstad, Blackley will play a Callisto, and I'm quoting from the Deadline article here, a teen whose desire to become the heroic man soldier, heroic man soldier his father was, leads the 16-year-old to become a soldier of a small band of, sorry, the leader of a small band of soldiers. He'll join Sullivan Stapleton, who got his lead last week in the next installment of the Zack Snyder-directed 300. Now, I don't really know anything this guy has done, but apparently he was just wrapped up in a movie, all one word, you want to kill him? You want me to kill him? Question mark, all one word. and he also played one of the leads in the London Boulevard opposite Colin Farrell and Keira Knightley, and he's got a supporting role in Snow White and the Huntsman. So obviously he's someone being groomed at the moment for big things.
All right, personal opinion time. Do you think a sequel to 300 is a good idea?
Oh, I think it'll be terrible regardless of how good an idea it is or not.
I think it's going to be awful. I don't have faith in this project.
The only thing that made the first one works as well as it did, and it certainly has its detractors, is that it was just the sheer audacity that Zack Snyder didn't believe that he could fail.
That's true. And it was the first time we saw Zack Snyder go absolutely balls to the wall that way.
Absolutely. He was showing everything he was wearing under his loincloth on that one.
Absolutely. And and he's basically repeated himself ever since. So,
you know, well, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's got anything else in him. I mean, that's what he did. And he threw it all at the screen. And I really liked 300. I saw it at the Man's Chinese Theater in Hollywood Boulevard when it came out. And it just blew me away. It was just beautiful to look at.
No. I actually, like, it's a big screen. A bit of eye candy.
Yeah.
It's actually amazing. And it was one of the first Blu-rays I bought, and it really still really pops.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fantastic to look at. But the film is really surface. and Zack Snyder
is as was its source.
And Zack Snyder, you know, there's a lot of detractors on it, but I quite liked Watchmen. But there's all the same tricks.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Same with Sucker Punch.
Yeah, and same with Sucker Punch as well. But Sucker Punch was, you know, not good. But, you know, that's a whole different issue. All right, back to fairy tales again. We were mentioning the fact that there were some Beauty and the Beast projects. I had heard about two of them already, which were made for TV ones, one of which is actually a reboot of the one that Ron Perlman was in with Linda Hamilton. So they're basically rebooting that story.
That's the television one.
That's right. The television one. There was another television one as well, which I don't have much detail on. But this week, we also just found out that Guillermo del Toro, the man that seems to have clones everywhere because there's no way he can be making as many films as he's making,
This is film number 274 for 2012, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Don't forget his TV projects as well. So, you know, yeah. Guillermo del Toro has been signed to direct the Beauty and the Beast movie, this starring Emma Watson from Harry Potter.
Ooh.
Mm.
I just saw her recently in my week with Marilyn.
How is she?
And, well, I'll tell you what, after 8 Harry Potter films, she still hasn't learned to act.
Oh, that's cold, man.
It's harsh, but it's true.
Oh, man, that's some harsh love there, I tell you what. Anyway, all right, John Carter?
Yeah, well, look, John Carter... I will say up front, I've seen John Carter, but that is about as much as I can tell you at the moment because I am completely embargoed from having reactions. Sometimes you go to a movie and it says all reactions are embargoed, so we all just have to sit there passively. but that includes Twitter. That certainly includes podcasts, and it definitely includes reviews. So I can't say anything about the film. But according to Deadline again, Mickey Fink reports that. And she says, Hollywood is in a tizzy over the early tracking.
A tizzy? Did she actually use that phrase?
She actually used the word tizzy over the early tracking, which just came in from this morning, and that was on Thursday, for Walt Disney Studios' John Carter. And that's opening on March the 9th pretty much around the world.
Right.
Now, according to the early tracking, it says here, not good, 2 unaided, 53 were aware of the film, 27 definitely interested, and 3 was their first choice. Was a senior executive at a rival studio.
Did you say 3?
3. Out of the sample size of 100, apparently. So 3% said it was their first choice out of the films that were coming out. So apparently that just came out. Women of all ages have flat out rejected the film. Despite the oily man flesh in there. And they said that tracking for John Carter is shocking for a film that costs over $250 million. And they're actually saying that this particular executive says this could be the biggest write-off of all time.
Oh, that's not good.
Now, I can't say too much, but let me just say that would be a shame.
Okay, well, I'm going to be seeing it, I think it's in a week. I'm seeing it.
Yes, and, you're seeing it. Tomorrow week.
Yeah, tomorrow week, and then in early March we'll finally be able to put it onto a show.
Yes.
So we'll talk about it then. I am very curious to see it. But I tell you what, the trailers have left me a little cold.
Look, I think it's just sort of indicative of how difficult sci-fi is to market.
Mm. Also, now let's face it, John Carter is a terrible name. John Carter says nothing about what that film is about.
It's interesting. All the early marketing and the logos still have JCM, and I hope I'm not breaching anything by saying the on-screen title is still John Carter of Mars.
I don't get it.
Mm.
I don't. And if they wanted the women, if they really wanted the women, they needed to exploit more of the original Edgar Rice Burroughs. I mean, this film was originally called, when Robert Rodriguez was attached to it, called John Carter and the Princess of Mars.
Yes.
I think that's what they needed to call it.
Well, because they've got there's 8 books or something that they can draw on.
Hmm.
And they've all got titles like Princess of Mars and the Warlords of Mars and Gods of Mars and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would have been great. I mean, if Disney's looking for another franchise in the vein of Pirates of the Caribbean or what have you, they've already got their set subtitles.
I think they made a real big mistake with marketing on this film. I don't know if it's about the film itself because I haven't seen it, but I think the marketing is way off on this film.
Yeah. Well, I can't say anything about the film, but I do definitely think that there's been some rather odd marketing choices, and even just the time of year that they're releasing it, March.
Mm.
is not traditionally
summer season. But look, they don't want to pit this film up against the Avengers and Spider-Man Dark Knight Rises. There's too much competition. The summer's too full.
That's true. Look, you never know. It could surprise us. It could be a sleepy hit. I mean, you know, early tracking doesn't always indicate. But, you know, at least one blog that I saw did break embargo. And it was a positive review, so who knows?
Look, I don't think early tracking does do anything. I mean, realistically, we've proven time and time again that market audiences and all this sort of stuff never seems to actually really reflect what the audiences really want.
And I think that Harry Knowles isn't subject to the embargo, so his review might be up on Ain't It Cool.
Why isn't he?
Well, look, you know, I could be wrong. It could be another film.
Ain't It Cool. Yeah.
But look, you know, this happens with a lot of films. You know, some websites get exclusives.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, I'd be interested to see what happens when the reviews start coming out and certainly the box office numbers.
Well, we'll let everybody know our opinions of it in a couple of weeks. So,
absolutely.
We'll see how we go. All right.
Early March.
I tweeted this earlier in the week, and I thought I'd better bring it up in the show because it made me almost choke on my Wheaties. but Michael Bay has signed on to direct Transformers 4 after saying he wouldn't. It gets worse, man. You should have saved it for this part, because not only is he directing Transformers 4, he's rebooting his own franchise. So I don't know what the hell that's all about. I don't know what.
Don't bullshit me.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so I think I read that and I just, you're kidding me. But it was officially announced by by De Bonaventura, the producer.
I was going to say Hasbro.
By Hasbro. No, but De Bonaventura.
Yeah, they are rebooting it. It's called Battleship, isn't it?
That's what I would have thought. God,
yeah.
God, Battleship looks like Transformers. It's unbelievable. It's like they've just used all the outtakes.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't fit from the 6-hour cut of Darker Than
Oh, man, I wouldn't put it past them to put out extended cuts of all the Transformers films.
Michael Bay's vision was to say that Michael Bay would be in all of Michael Bay's films. Have you ever heard his audio commentaries?
No,
I heard one, and he refers to himself in the third person at fair.
Oh, you're kidding. I think the man has serious problems.
Yeah, no, Michael Bay does.
I think he has serious problems. I think
George Lucas.
We need to send him to a psychiatrist, and he can be...
It's Bush League psycho stuff.
That's right. all right, Richard, I think you've got something for us.
Do I?
Well, according to the show.
Oh, yeah,
Peter,
I do. Look,
you got
Spider-Man.
Something exciting for us, apparently.
Yeah, well, the first clip from The Amazing Spider-Man has been released.
Cool. Have you got it?
I've got it right here.
Oh, play it. Hey, I'm amazing.
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. Wait a minute. This is the proper clip here.
Whoa. Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm going to...
Are you dropping off or picking up?
My what?
Are you dropping off or picking up? You're a messenger. You have a package. Are you dropping off?
I don't have
a
package. I'm not a messenger. I don't... I'm having dinner with these...
What's in the bag?
I gotta go to dinner.
Who are you here to see?
Gwen Stacy. You know Gwen...
Your name?
Peter. Sorry, Peter Parker. Why?
Could you see tutoring you? Could you open the bag, please? No bag? No Gwen.
Right,
no
so that
bag,
was the
no Gwen.
No bag, no Gwen. Now, if you recall in the trailer, Peter Parker says at the start of the trailer, "Your doorman's kind of intense."
There's the doorman.
That's the doorman. I was really hoping to be played by Bruce Campbell, but no.
Wrong director. That's the problem. He's doing a really good bumbling Peter Parker, though, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he looks terrific. The more I see of him, he looks great. I mean, there's this new viral website out, markofthespider-man.com.
Right.
Which basically has this sort of surveillance footage from six different cities around the world, Atlanta, Denver, Los Angeles, New York, Phoenix, Seattle. Okay, not around the world, around America.
That is the world to America.
With the mark of the spider is being spray painted on walls and things. But they actually put up there, if you click on the big red spider that's on that page, it'll take you through to a YouTube video. Also, check out the hashtag mark of the Spider-Man on Twitter. where I think some more viral stuff will be released slowly over the next few months.
Oh, and of course, we've got that link in the show notes as well.
Yes, so. That's right.
All right, no, that's cool. I can't wait to see this film. I'm very, very curious to see.
No, like, after seeing the footage and the new trailer particularly, I'm convinced this will be good.
I think so. Do you know what else might be good?
What's that, David?
Tintin 2.
Ooh, Electric Boogaloo.
It was finally confirmed because Peter Jackson, of course, was supposed to direct Tintin 2. Electric Boogaloo, no.
Try saying that four times quickly.
But then he got kind of roped into doing The Hobbits because of Guillermo del Toro leaving. Wait a minute. Guillermo del Toro is not directing a movie?
No, I'm sure he's there.
Peter Jackson, so there was a lot of speculation as to what was going to happen with Tintin 2, because Peter Jackson's roped into two Hobbit films now.
That's right.
But it did come out this week that it is confirmed. Peter Jackson is going to make Tintin 2. He's going to do it straight after he finishes The Hobbit.
Excellent.
So we're going to have to wait a little while by the looks of it.
Yeah, because the second Hobbit movie won't be out until the end of next year.
Yeah, now I don't know if that means he's going to start shooting it straight after he finishes shooting The Hobbit, but if I know anything about Jackson's style of working, he'll be in the editing suite every day.
Yeah, no, I think he'll be working on the second Hobbit there and back again.
Yeah, I think he'll
be too. Right up until a few weeks before release.
And the Tintin films are at least a two-year proposition to get made.
Absolutely.
So it could be a few years before we see Tintin 2, but it is going to be directed by Peter Jackson.
And I guess that's the beauty of the mocap, is that the actors don't age.
That's true. That's true. And also, you don't have to build big elaborate sets and everything.
They that's right.
They go off and literally shoot it over a space of, you know, several months.
Well, they can be building the sets now if they want to.
Absolutely, and the characters and everything else.
Yeah, exactly right.
So that's good news. All right, and we're going to finish off this week's news. you're preempting me, man. remember the movie Valley Girl?
No. Yes, I do.
Gag Me with a Spoon. Remember that one?
Gag Me with a Spoon.
Yeah, that movie with a very young Nicholas Coppola. I think
yes.
He was Nicholas Coppola in that one, wasn't he? Sweet. What? He was Nicholas Coppola in that, wasn't he? Or was he Cage by then? I can never remember.
He might have still been Coppola, yeah.
I'm not sure. But anyway, it was a very young Nicholas Cage and a very young Deborah Foreman. Anyway, but the point is of this is that they are going to make a musical remake of this. In fact, director Clay Wiener.
Best name ever, man.
Best name ever. Anyway, Clay Wiener, household name, obviously. Is
Sorry, did I break your concentration?
Clay Wiener is directing a musical remake of Valley Girl. This is true. Apparently, he's this unknown director who'd only directed whatever, who knows what. He went in with a demo reel and apparently blew away... These are all wrong words to be using when I'm saying the word Clay Wiener. But apparently he went in and impressed the studio head so much they basically just gave it to him.
Wow. So, I can't believe he fought for this.
He woke up one day and obviously said, "My name is Clay Wiener." No, he didn't say that. No, he woke up one day and said, "I'm going to make a musical of Valley Girl."
I actually think he woke up one day, said to himself, "I'm going to make a musical of Valley Girl," and then did a whole sort of inspirational set piece to music.
Gag me with a spoon.
Hey, kid, I'm going to take it to the stars, and so forth. But apparently, as this article from firstshowing.net says, isn't Rock of Ages kind of covering much of the same territory?
Yeah, pretty much. And hasn't Glee already covered this as well?
Yeah, and well, see, Rock of Ages have noticed in their trailer, because Glee has kind of covered every song of the last 40 years, I noticed in the trailer for Rock of Ages, they don't play one of the big songs from Rock of Ages, which is Don't Stop Believin'.
Ah, we know why, too.
Yeah. So, and I'm wondering how that's going to play to audiences. And it has just been pushed back a month or so here in Australia, I think. That's the case in the States as well.
So the question is, will the musical version of Valley Girl be the next Hairspray, or will it be the next Mamma Mia?
Look, I'm thinking it'll be somewhere in between.
Oh, it'll fall in the middle. Oh, that's nice.
It'll be Mamma Spray.
Oh, God, I'm moving away from this story right now. That was terrible.
I've really got to think these things through before
you really,
I say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you really do. All right. By the way, just very quickly, we're running out of time, but I do want to throw a quick apology out to the family of
What have you done, David?
I've forgotten her name. It's terrible. What's her name? You know, the singer that just died.
Oh, Whitney Houston.
That's the one. Shows you how interested I am in this story. But I got to just say, we were so dismissive last week that people kind of said, boy, you were really kind of harsh. So we should say, you know, our condolences to the family. But really.
Really? Did people complain?
Yeah, a little bit. But that's all right.
Wow.
Not serious complaints, but I think they were.
You know, I've just got to, like, I'm going to get on my soapbox here. I'm sick to death of people sort of when someone dies who has kind of either been a junkie for years or a child molester, second they die, it's like, oh, God, they'll be missed. They made such great music.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
20 years ago. It's happened to Michael Jackson and happened to Whitney Houston. I'm sorry. We saw it coming.
Yeah.
I wasn't
It was
shocked.
No big surprise that she died. You know, yes, there was all this talk about her being on her comeback trail and blah, blah, but you know what? She hadn't come back yet.
No.
That's the bottom line.
Nor had MJ, for that matter, either.
Sorry?
Nor had MJ, for that matter.
No,
either.
Exactly.
She'll sell a stack of records now.
Of course. And look, you know, and Whitney Houston had an amazing voice, and she was an amazing talent in her time.
And they're both on screen as well. And I mean, there's a good tribute this week at her kind of memorial service. Apparently, Kevin Costner gave a really heartwarming speech at that as well.
So he should. I mean, that film was a huge hit for him as well. All that sort of stuff. The reason we were dismissive was because it was nothing new, nothing surprising, and everybody was fawning all over this news story. That it, for us, it was just like, so she died. You know, we've seen this coming for 10 years. You know,
and also, I mean, you know, it was the story was everywhere. And we didn't think that we would be breaking anything.
No.
It wouldn't be a surprise for anyone to learn. I mean, it was everywhere at that point. So for us to sort of dismissively put in at the end was just kind of our acknowledgement that it's a story we didn't need to cover.
And besides, we make fun of stuff. It's a joke, Joyce. Deal with it.
Yeah. So, look, you know, apologies if we did offend anyone, but it's certainly not our intent.
And look, there wasn't. I'm not talking like we've been having hate mail or anything like that. Just a couple of people have spoken to me and basically said it was a bit dismissive, you know. So,
okay, so it was just people.
People, listeners.
Oh, forget it then.
Not the camp, not the actual family. They don't care. They don't listen to us.
Anyway. No, I wouldn't be the family. If the family contacted, I'd be on the next plane to Los Angeles.
The family was actually listening to us. My God. All right, well, we got to get out of here, Richard, because, you know, we are loud and fast and under 30 minutes, and we are fast approaching 27 and a half minutes. So,
okay, so
where can we find more of you?
Now?
Sorry?
What do you need from me now?
I need you to tell people where people can find you.
Okay, they can find me at therealbits.com. That's RELBits.com. You can also find me at DVDBits on Twitter.
Fantastic. And you can find me at geekactually.com or at David McVeigh on Twitter. And we should say that you can also find Josh Philpott at rawdlc.com or, now, God help me, HipHopNet.
No. Online.
Is that it? HipHopNetOnline.com. Is that it?
That sounds about right.
Okay, excellent. Now, very quickly, in the last minute and a half, you can also send your feedback@filmactually.com. Excellent. Got that out. And one last thing, we are giving away copies of The Walking Dead Season 1 Blu-ray, but you have to go and listen to Behind the Panels, our comic book podcast, to find out the magic question that will allow you to get that competition entry in. So go listen to that episode now, and you might be able to win yourself a copy of The Walking Dead Season 1. Okay? How's that?
Sounds awesome.
Fantastic. Richard, I'll see you again next week.
See you then, David.
Bye.
I'm finished.